Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way.
So what is Labor Day anyway? It's not just the end of summer season, and we know it is not a celebration of, heroic mothers in the delivery room. Well, if you know labor, then you're in the right place. Call in if you want to take part in our Labor Day News and History Quiz. You'll be able to call yourself an official Brian Lehrer Show Labor Day Scholar if you can answer 3 questions in a row. And not to stiff you, the working man or woman, but it's bragging rights only, which is worth a lot. You could go to your Labor Day cookout and tell your friends and family that you're a Brian Lehrer Show Labor Day Scholar. So we'll also take your name and post it on the website after the show, but we don't have any material prizes. Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, to take part in this history/news Labor Day quiz. And also call us if you want to tell us your moonlighting stories. We've been collecting stories on our website of second jobs and their roles in listeners' lives, third jobs, fourth jobs, fifth jobs. And we'll go to some of those as we go along, and we can take yours on the phone. Here's one right away. Somebody posted this. By night, I'm a police officer who specializes in fatal accident investigations. By day, I design manholes for a local foundry whose products cover most of the utility holes in New York City, the airports, tunnels, and bridges. Sometimes I make the actual pattern for these items to be cast from in iron. I do not moonlight with the police department. By the end of the shift, I really need the break. The drafting and design work are relaxing. So there's one moonlighting story to get us going. And joining me now to quiz you is historian Ken Davis, author of the Don't Know Much series, including Don't Know Much About History, Don't Know Much About Geography, Don't Know Much About the Bible, Don't Know Much About Mythology, and his brand new one is Don't Know Much About Anything, Everything You Need to Know But Never Learned About People, Places, Events, and More. Ken has done lots of news and history quizzes before for us on various topics, and thanks so much for putting together a Labor Day quiz.
And we're going to prove that fun is not a four-letter word, and fun is not frivolous either, but we'll have some fun.
So first, let's take a moonlighting call, and then we will give this caller a chance to answer the first quiz question. Judith in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Brian. I'm calling about my husband. He's a New York City public school teacher.
Uh-huh.
So he teaches all day, and then he goes to New York City Dial-A-Teacher, and he does homework help there. And he's particularly a math specialist, so he gets a tremendous amount of calls.
I'll bet.
Including now, he's getting tutors from the Upper East Side who can't do the work, and they call him to do the higher math.
Oh, he's like a trainer of tutors.
He's a trainer of everybody. And my point is, when he comes home, if I just say, where's the... He walks to the other room. He can't answer any questions after 8 o'clock at night.
So moonlighting has a positive and a negative effect on your home life.
Negative effect at home, positive life elsewhere, but I'm very proud of what
he didn't know they had such a thing as dial a teacher.
You didn't?
No. Do you know the number?
Sure. Do your kids need math help? 777-3380, 212. It's the Department of Education. It's Monday through Thursday, 4 to 7. And they answer questions K to whatever.
There you have it, folks. 212-777-3380 for Dial-A-Teacher. I didn't expect to learn that today. You want to take a news quiz question?
I probably can't answer anything, but I want to say one thing, Brian. Your show is tonic. I love it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Judith doesn't want to hang around and take the quiz, but Bob in Brooklyn does, right, Bob?
Thank you, yeah.
Go for it, Ken.
Oh, well, we have to start at the beginning. Where and when was Labor Day first celebrated?
Where and when? Oh, gosh, Labor Day. You mean the year?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the where.
Where and when was Labor Day first celebrated?
New York City.
I thought it was at the beach around 1 o'clock.
On Monday. Now, New York City is correct.
Yeah.
The when part is tricky, but you want to give it a stab? put it in
well,
the right...
Well, they wanted it was a counterbalance to May Day, so it wouldn't be like a red holiday. So I'll say 1920.
No, we'll give you the a one right for the New York, but the correct answer on when is 1882.
Oh,
well, that's around 90. We're gonna give Bob a yes on this.
Thank you.
And let him continue to a second question. Is his historical interpretation right, by the way? Was it some counterbalance politically to May Day?
Yes, and that's therein lies a tale, and we'll come back to that, I suppose. But maybe that's piqued everyone's curiosity. What is, you know, what does May Day have to do with labor? And they're very specific, obviously. But we'll go on then to if we're going to give him that, that's a gimme. So it was first celebrated in New York in 1882. 10,000 or so men walked down the streets, and they were basically trying to form unions. When did it become a national holiday?
Uh-huh.
Oh, these are all Labor Day questions.
This is a Labor Day news and history quiz.
What a coincidence.
When did it become a national holiday? The year again. We're just going for the year.
All right, let's say within 5 years.
I'll try it again, 1920.
And that's not right, so we'll leave it for the next caller.
Okay, Bob, thanks a lot. Jim in Lavalette, do you know, within 5 years, when Labor Day became a national holiday?
I really have no idea. I'll make a guess. 1965?
Not at all close.
Earlier than that.
Not even close.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot. We will try one more person. If three in a row people get it wrong, we're just going to give you the answer.
We're inventing the rules as we go here, Brian.
Well, that's the usual rule. If three callers in a row can't answer the question, don't tell me I'm dancing when I'm not. Peter in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Do you know?
No, I'm afraid I don't. I was thinking most likely the just after World War II, like I would have guessed the 20s, but evidently not.
World War II is after
World
the
War 20s.
I, rather. Oh, World War I.
Like after the Palmer Raids and stuff, I was guessing. But.
All right. How close is
it? That's not correct.
Okay,
either.
Sorry, Peter. Thanks for calling.
This is a 19th century national holiday.
It is.
Signed into law in 1894 by Grover Cleveland. The idea of the original Labor Day was to celebrate workers, obviously, but also to establish the strength and esprit de corps of the trade and labor organizations. And Grover Cleveland was not especially a friend of labor, as most presidents were not in those days and for many years to come. But something else important had happened in 1894, and that was the Pullman Car Company strike. Very, very violent, as many strikes were, a violent strike. So this was a sort of a bone tossed to the working men and women of America to give them this holiday after this really violent strike had been put down with the full force of the federal government.
It's our Labor Day News and History Quiz with historian Kenneth C. Davis here on WNYC. Call us if you want to play. Three in a row right, and we'll post your name on our website later in the day, and you'll have bragging rights for the whole weekend as a Brian Lehrer Show Labor Day scholar. We're also taking calls with your stories of the role of moonlighting in your life at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Here's another moonlighting story that someone posted on our site, someone going by Bird. I have a rewarding full-time career managing public service message campaigns for nonprofit organizations, but while I am using my analytical skills to make the world a better place, my creative energy had no outlet, so I launched a second career as a burlesque dancer, performance artist. It can be exhausting, and it definitely requires good time management and setting definite boundaries.
And I would imagine a good choice to describe as a moonlight job. You
a burlesque dancer?
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that's something you'd be doing in the middle of the day.
Ron in New York City, you never know. Ron in North Bergen, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good. You want to take the quiz?
Yeah, please.
What you got, Ken?
Okay. How much was the first federal minimum wage?
I'd say 15 cents.
That's pretty close. It was actually 25 cents. Is that within the range of close enough call there, Brian?
We'll give him a pass there.
Yeah.
Keep going.
1938, the Fair Labors and Standards Act established. That was for jobs that involved interstate commerce. And of course, it was part of the first generation of labor laws passed during the Great Depression under the New Deal by Franklin Roosevelt.
Next question.
what is the current federal minimum wage?
Uh-huh.
This has been in the news.
That's
so.
A slightly tricky question.
If it's national, you know what? I'm in New Jersey. I got to say it's $5.15.
That was the old one. But no, that's not right.
Well, has the new one actually kicked in yet?
I don't think so.
Because isn't it going from $5.15 gradually up?
Well, in July
Something.
July it went to $5.85.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so it has been in the news in the past 6 weeks or so. It did go to $5.85. That was the first increase, by the way, in 10 years in the national wage.
Ron?
Of course, many states have their own minimum wages, and New York and New Jersey, it is $7.15. In Connecticut, it's $7.65.
Ron, thanks for playing. And you gave away the answer to that one, Kent. So we're going to go to Kara in Manhattan, who's got a moonlighting story for us. Hi, Kara.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you do?
Good. Well, during the day, I work as a gemologist, diamond buyer, and colored stone buyer. And years ago, I was tired of not making my rent all the time and not bringing home enough money, so I started a company, a dodgeball company. So a few days a week, I get teams together, and I organize it, and they come and they pay me to play dodgeball.
They pay you to play dodgeball?
Yeah, and it's a great prize.
And have their self-esteem destroyed?
No.
Isn't that what dodgeball is for?
Not really. No, it's very competitive.
Only in elementary school. So do you have like an indoor space that you rent out and people play dodgeball?
Yes, different schools throughout the city. And there are a few, there are only about three other companies in the city that do it. And you just, it's very easy, actually.
It's funny because I would have thought the big bucks were in diamonds and not dodgeball.
They are if you own the company, but if you're just
That's a tradition. That's a perfect line for Labor Day. It's money if you own the company.
All right, you're ready for a quiz question?
Sure, I don't know if I'll answer it.
Okay, we're looking just for a percentage number here since you're a moonlighter. How many other Americans are moonlighters? The percentage of the working population that holds two jobs, what do you think it is?
30%.
That's not right.
Okay.
Sorry. Good try.
Kara, thanks a lot.
Have a great weekend.
Just don't get hit in the face, okay?
Okay, thanks.
It can really sting. All right. Now, we could go over the dodgeball rules with her, I think. Different cities play differently. But here's another moonlighting job post. And here's an interesting one. And it comes with kind of a funny conclusion. At one point in college, I held four different jobs over a period of 4 months. Eventually, I had to cut down to three. It was always difficult to pay bills, go to class, and find employers who were understanding and flexible enough to continue going to school. I think as a result, I've always resented the internship crowd a bit, as I think it caters to young people who have the time and money to work without pay for months at a time. You don't have an internship question, do you? The relationship between interns and paid employees? David in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Ready for a news quiz question, a Labor Day question?
Certainly.
Ken?
Okay, I think we were going to skip to an audio question here, which is here's a bit of an old labor movement song. That's what the information I was given.
Yes, okay. Now I know what question you're talking about. This is an old labor movement song. Take a listen.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
Perhaps the most famous labor movement song, Joe Hill.
So it begs the obvious question, who was Joe Hill?
Do you know, David?
A leader in the Wobblies.
That's good. Very good. Congratulations. We'll take that. And, of course, the Wobblies were the International Workers of the World, a somewhat socialist-tilting labor union of the early teens into the 20s, put down once again, as most organized labor was at that time, with tremendous violence by the full force of the government and business combined. And Joe Hill was one of those organizers, and he died in 1915. Some of the other labor organizers, of course, of the Wobblies were Big Bill Haywood, a miner, Eugene Debs, and Mary Harris Mother Jones, who was a 75-year-old organizer for the United Mine Workers.
So not Wobbly in his knowledge. David gets one question right. Give him a second.
Okay. Which president broke the air traffic controllers union?
Ronald Reagan.
That's correct. That's two in a row.
That was easy.
That was too easy. That was too easy. I might have to go down to the tough ones, the tough ones now. Okay. Well, the next one I have is too easy too, so we'll leave that one aside. What percentage of Americans are union members today?
What percentage of American workers?
American workers, yes.
Are union members today, Dave?
7.8%.
That's not right. It's not even close enough for a gimme.
Okay. David, thanks a lot, though. You did a good job. How about John in Belleville? Do you know the answer to that question? John, are you there? John, welcome to the air. Okay. How about Lou in South Orange? Lou, you there?
Yes, I am. I would say it's more like 12.5%.
Well, 12% is right, so we'll give you that's close enough for a cigar here. Now,
was David right in saying 7% with respect to private sector unionization, and it's much higher in the public sector?
Well, if you took out public sector jobs, yes, it would be much lower. But I don't know if it gets down to 7.8.
Yes, I think seven or eight might actually be the approximate percentage of union workers in the private sector at this point, which is unbelievably low and much lower than many people would probably guess. What was it at its peak?
Well, it was right after World War II. It was about 30, or in the early 50s or 60s, I think it reached almost 35%.
It was around 33% in the 60s and, mm-hmm. of course, has decreased steadily ever since.
That was not meant to be a quiz question, but since Lou answered it, we're going to give him credit for two in a row. He's one question away, one right answer away from being our first Brian Larochelle Labor Day News and History Scholar for this year.
All right. Well, I have to get rid of all the easy ones then.
No.
Because that would... Be unfair.
And remember, the first one that he answered right was the hard one for the last guy.
That's right. What labor leader ran for U.S. president from a jail cell?
Eugene V. Debs.
That's absolutely correct. So we have a...
We're going to mail you the trumpet.
Oh,
that's
great.
Your prize.
I'll take it out for the Labor Day parade.
All right, hang on. We're going to get your full name off the air so we can post it on the website later as a Brian Larochelle News and History Scholar, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lou. Very good. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here too. Then we'll continue with more of your calls on the impact of moonlighting in your life and more of Ken Davis's questions for you in our Brian Larochelle Labor Day News and History Quiz. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.
County to see Miss Susan Ann, 'cause Susan's in the union, everybody's in the union, where the mayor's in the union, in Union County Town.
If you want higher wages, let me tell you what to do. You got to talk to the seamen on the ship with you. You got to build you a union, got to make it strong. But if you all stick together, boys, don't be long. You get shorter hours, better working conditions, vacations with pay, take your kids to the country. Of course, it ain't quite this simple, so I better explain.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Ken Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About series, his new book, Don't Know Much About Anything, Everything You Need to Know But Never Learned About People, Places, Events, and More. And he has worked up a Labor Day News and History Quiz for us as we head into the Labor Day weekend. And if you get three right, then you get bragging rights all weekend long for your barbecue, your trip to the beach, whatever it is. You're going to a Yankee game this weekend, you can tell the crowd you are a Brian Larochelle Labor Day Scholar if you get three questions in a row right. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And at the same time, we're taking your stories of the impact of moonlighting, working multiple jobs on your life. Here's one that someone posted on our site. It says, working two jobs has actually given me more flexibility and time off. While working almost full-time for a construction firm, I supplement my income with at-home data entry for a local nonprofit whose mission statement is close to my heart. All right, let's see. Who was waiting here? Oh, we have a lot of calls that just came in. Well, let's take another moonlighting call. Dan in Rocky Point, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hey, it's Dave, actually. But
Dave, I'm sorry. What do you do?
I'm an IT consultant by day, and by night, I'm the band leader of a 10-piece R&B band on the island.
Huh. And is that just because you love it, or do you actually get paid for it?
I get paid for it, and I love it, so it's great.
That's great. You want to say the name of your band? We'll give you a shout-out there.
Oh, great. It's the Hackensack Men and the Trenton Horns.
All right. Ready for a news quiz question?
Sure, why not?
Ken?
Which president, American president, U.S. president, was also the president of a union?
Oh, geez. Honestly, I have no idea.
Well, take a guess. There are only, 40-odd presidents. So.
Stop and think about it for a minute. It's someone in your lifetime. And
it's
not
in my lifetime?
Not probably the biggest union supporter who'll come to your mind.
Oh, now we're giving too much away.
Ronald Reagan?
But you have to tell me what union.
I would have to say the Screen Actors Guild.
Absolutely right.
That's two for two. Brian really helped you there.
Well, that's one, right? Wasn't that his first question?
Okay, we'll call that one question.
That's one. That's one.
That's just one.
Dan, by the way, what are the economics of leading a 10-piece band that plays relatively small venues? How does anybody make money? How does the third trumpet player make money on that?
Well, actually, the horn players make more than anybody.
Really?
Yeah, well, no, that's not true. The small clubs really don't pay a lot. They're just like a drawer in to get the bigger things, the black tie weddings and that sort of thing.
All right, next question.
You're definitely not going to support a family on it, I'll tell you that.
I guess not. Ken, next question.
Okay. Most of us know that the New York's finest are the police officers and the New York's bravest are the firefighters. Do you know who New York's strongest are?
Steam fitters comes to mind right away.
That's a good try, but not what we're looking for.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. How about Karen in Montclair? You ready for this?
Well, actually, I had a question for the speaker. I told the person on the phone that.
Everybody's got an angle. What's your question?
Well, my understanding is that Labor Day began in America in opposition to May Day in Europe, so that it would not be on May 1st,
yes.
The way the European socialists were celebrating.
That's right. This came up before, and Ken confirmed that.
That's right. I did confirm that, and probably we should give a little of the background to that, why May Day is significant, because it all ties together with the history of Labor Day. May Day is celebrated largely because of the celebration or the commemoration of the Haymarket Square riot, perhaps the most notorious incident in American labor history, and that happened in May of 1866. Now, as time went by, unions themselves wanted to get away from Haymarket because it had connotations, false connotations, it turned out. Allegations of anarchists and socialists had been behind the rioting at Haymarket Square, and certainly Grover Cleveland didn't want a holiday that was going to celebrate then the riot at Haymarket Square. Other countries did adopt May Day as their Labor Day, whereas the United States moved it to September. So that is exactly why we are doing this now.
Karen, you want a quiz question while you're here?
I'm not so good at these, but I thank you very much for taking my question.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, John in Belleville, whose line dropped out earlier, is back. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Ready for a question?
Yes.
Okay. We'll try the last one that we got wrong here. New York's finest are the police officers. The bravest are the firefighters. Do you know who New York's strongest are?
Oh, wow. The iron workers.
Nice guess, but wrong. We're going to have to go to – John was from Belleville, so we're going to have to go to New Yorker for this one. Tom on Staten Island, did you hear the question?
Yes, that's a sanitation.
That's correct. Sanitation workers.
Now, his next question is the next audio question.
That's correct. We have the audio portion.
And here is another question about a song. This one is a movie theme song. Let's hear it. The movie was 9 to 5. The tagline of the movie was, "Getting even is a full-time job." And so the question is, in this movie that starred Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and Dolly Parton with the boss Dabney Coleman, what did they do to get even?
Oh, I forget. I forget. Yeah.
Okay, Tom.
I don't know.
Okay, Tom. Thanks. Let's see if Hannah, did I say that right, in Hempstead knows the answer to that question.
Yes, you did.
Okay, you're on the air, Hannah. Turn your radio down. Do you know the answer to the question?
Repeat the question, please.
It was that audio question, right? We played the 9 to 5 theme song, tagline of the movie. It's a full-time job. Getting even is a full-time job. What did Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and Dolly Parton do to get even with their sexist and bigoted boss?
They kidnapped him.
They what?
They kidnapped him.
That is correct. They kidnapped him. They tied him up and stuck him away. And not the most enlightened labor movement movie, I suppose.
Hey, whatever works. Next question.
There aren't too many, actually. Well, let's see. We asked about the percentage of Americans in unions, but what is America's largest union?
The AFL-CIO.
No, that's a collection of unions. I'm looking for the largest single union. Good try, though.
Probably AFSCME.
AFSCME. Nope, that's not it either. That's the Federation of City and State and Municipal Employees, but that's not it either.
Hannah, thanks for trying. John in Bergen County, do you have an answer to the largest single labor union? John, are you there? John in Bergen? All right, how about Shauna in Brooklyn?
Would it be the SEIU?
Nope.
Ooh.
I have a really good Teamster story, so you got to let me do that.
Go ahead.
Okay, I come from 3 generations of Teamster presidents. And my dad had an ulcer in his early 20s. And Jimmy Hoffa pulled him aside, and he goes, "Kid, 99% of what you worry about isn't worth worrying about, and the other 1%, get a good lawyer." So it's been a family mantra ever since.
Thank you very much. All right. Paul in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi. My guess is, it's either the AFT or the Teamsters. Let's go for the Teamsters.
No, sorry, that's not right.
Wow.
I have my own question. We know New York's finest, New York's strongest, and New York's whatever it is, bravest. There is another uniformed service that calls themselves legitimately New York's smartest. And they really do call themselves this way. And here's a hint. Most of them work in a very central location. And they are a uniformed service, New York City employees. Who are they?
You've stumped the stumper here.
Tour guides.
Remember, they work in a very central location.
Central
Maybe
location.
Center Street.
Hmm. So we're down
they
to
are
the
they are the,
municipal
the,
building?
The enforcement personnel who work in the courts.
Uh-huh. Okay. New York's smartest. But none of them called up to take the news quiz. They're not that smart. Okay. Mikey in Brooklyn, you ready for a question?
Yes, I was just going to, actually, I was thinking of the New York's strongest. Was that question answered?
Oh, that
yes.
was answered.
Yes.
That's the sanitation man. Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll take a question.
All right, we'll give you New York's boldest then. We've gotten the bravest, the strongest, and the finest, and the smartest out of the way. What about New York's boldest workers?
Oh, the boldest. I would say that the correction officers?
That's right.
Good
job.
By the way,
you know how I know that?
How do you?
They got a commercial promoting, new recruits on the radio.
There you go. And you heard it recently, and it stuck with you. It must have been a good commercial because you remembered it among, the sounds out there. What was the answer, Ken, on the largest union?
Well, I was going to use that for the
Well, I think we had already gone through three people on that.
America's largest union is the NEA, the National Education Association, which is teachers and others.
Wow.
It's 3.2 million. Someone had answered the AFT.
The other teachers,
American Federation of Teachers, they're 1.4, and teachers comprise the largest single working group in America.
All right. We have time probably for two more questions, and we're going to make them both audio questions. So let's see. The question, are we asking people to identify this voice? No. Okay. This is Mike Quill, a New York union leader from the 60s.
The court have issued an injunction, and several of us are going to jail. Just as we promised you, the judge can drop dead in his black robes. We will not call off the strike.
Oh, Mikey hung up, but he could have answered that question, or he could have gotten a shot at it. So we'll go to John and Elizabeth. John, the question is, what was the union that Mike Quill led?
Okay. Transit workers?
That sure was.
That's correct.
All right. And here's another audio question.
That was the 12-day strike, by the way, in 1966. For all those who remember.
Starting New Year's
1966.
Day. And technically known as the Transport Workers Union. And one more audio question. Same union, different decade. Who is this TWU head?
The Local 100 Executive Board just voted overwhelmingly to direct transit workers to return to work immediately and to resume bus and subway service throughout the five boroughs.
Name that person.
Boy, I just can't remember his name. But okay. Hey, can I give a shout out to my old union, Food and Commercials Workers?
You just did. John, thanks a lot. We're out of time, so I'm going to give the answer. It was Roger Toussaint, who was at the head of the pack during the recent transport workers union strike. And I want to thank Kenneth C. Davis, whose latest book is called Don't Know Much About Anything, Everything You Need to Know But Never Learned About People, Places, Events, and More, for preparing this Labor Day news and history quiz for us. It's been lots of fun.
I'll just throw one tease out to you finally. Who's 11th in presidential succession?
11th?
Remember the quiz.
It's the labor secretary?
The labor secretary.
Oh,
you have to get
goodness.
Down to 11. Elaine Chao, of course, is the labor secretary. She's not eligible. She was born in Taiwan.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks again, Ken, and have a great Labor Day weekend, everybody.